Leviticus chapter 13. Now, as our brother read through this, I'm sure that you noticed how that the priest was called on here rather than the physician. No need to call on a physician for something a physician can't fix. Leprosy is incurable by the means of men. Even to this day, it's incurable. I think they can do something for the symptoms, but leprosy itself is incurable. It is an incurable disease by all the means that men have available, and it's a type of sin because it's incurable. Once leprosy sets in, it's death. Unless God will come and heal. Now, so the priest here is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the leper is a type of the sinner. All the scriptures, as you know, are written. Everything in this book is about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of things in this book that don't seem to make a whole lot of sense to human reason. For instance, whenever the leper is covered up from head to foot with leprosy, count him clean. He's well. How does that make any sense? Well, hopefully we'll see as we go along here. So, the Bible is not apologetic when it sets forth Jesus Christ in type and shadow in ways that doesn't just fit with our mode of reasoning. That, to me, that's another proof of the authenticity of the Scriptures, that God doesn't try to make sense to us. He just declares things to be as they are, and to those whom He will give faith, to those whom He will allow to look into the Scriptures, why, that makes perfect sense. But to everybody else, it's a strange sound. They just can't hear it. They don't want anything to do with it. And that's what the Bible says about itself, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. And the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So these things are hidden, just like the God who hides himself. Thou, God, hidest thyself. Isaiah. I don't remember chapter and verse right now. But he does. He hides himself from the generality of the people, and he reveals himself to those whom he chose to everlasting life in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. And that's just how it is. Now, so this book is written to the children of God. It's not written to the world. It's written to those to whom God will give an understanding of it, whom He reveals it to, and whom He must reveal it to in the power of God the Holy Spirit. He comes and reveals it to us. Thy children shall be taught of God, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Now, if you notice, he gave the symptoms of leprosy. He said, well, if it's a white scab, or if it's got a white hair, or if it's lower than the skin, or if it's upheaval, or so on, then shut him up 7 days. And then look at him again. Well, if it's not spread, then pronounce him clean. But if it's spread, shut him up 7 days more. And then look on it again. And if it's spread abroad, then it's unclean. And he's unclean, you see. And the thing is there, leprosy represents us in this respect in our habits. There are things that we do that are simply by our infirmities. Not necessarily sinful in ourselves, but they are infirmities in us, and they may lead to sin. So we need to watch in our habits, in our conduct, in our speech, in our body language, in everything about us. We need to remember that we are the children of God, and that we are purchased, body, soul, and spirit, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This body was fashioned by God the Father. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and again is purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to be raised again from the dead. It's going to be brought to glory with the souls. And so we ought to honor that which God has given us, a healthy body, and not abuse it, which I'm guilty of myself. I hurt my back every little whip stitch doing what a man ought not to do. But anyway, we ought to watch that. And we ought to be careful, especially in our speech, because our speech is how we project our thoughts, our attitudes, and our desires to this world. And we ought to make sure that our speech project no sinful aspect about it. Sin in us is defiled. We are defiled by it, and it is defiling. It defiles others. It spreads abroad. It's a contagious thing. So we need to watch. Watch and pray. All right, now let's move on down here to verses 12 and 13. And if the leprosy break out abroad in the skin, I'm in Leviticus 13:12, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest look, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white, he is clean. Well, he's covered up with leprosy. That's a picture of us. The Holy Spirit has to make us a sinner in our own eyes. Has to show us our corruption and our evil, that we are sinners from head to foot, and then and only then are we fit candidates for the grace of God. And it is sure that the only persons that the Holy Spirit brings to this place is those whom he has given life. He's clean. And he pronounces himself a sinner. He knows that there's nothing in him that can recommend him to God. He knows that he can do nothing to recommend him God to him from to recommend him to God. And he knows that his thoughts, his actions, his desires, fleshly, are all condemning to him. He's covered up with sin, which is a type of leprosy, from head to foot, and he's a fit subject for grace. And he's like, look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes follow him. I'm in Matthew 8:1, and that's speaking of the Lord Jesus. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He didn't offer any excuses for his pitiful condition. He just said, Lord, my soul is in your hands. If you will, you can cure me. And our Lord Jesus put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Mark 1:44 gives a same account. And look at Luke. I can't remember. In Luke, anyway, there was ten lepers that was cleansed. And they went on their way, and one returned to thank the Lord, and the Lord said, "Weren't there 10 lepers that was clean, but where are the 9? How quickly men forget. But it's in the hand of the Lord to heal this malady of leprosy. And he's the only one that can do it, and he did it by the blood of his cross. Now look over at chapter 14, verse 1. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying..." Now, back in chapter 13, you have leprosy. You have all the things that go along with leprosy in the body, in clothing, which represents our outward deportment to the world, in a house, which represents our local assembly, whether it be a working of leprosy in their local assembly, and what is to be done in each case. And speaking of the local assembly, we have need of to love one another. And that's the commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ. Love one another. We love one another because we are a blood-bought people. God loved us, all true believers. Why shouldn't we love one another? We certainly should. We are of the same covenant. We are of the same body. We are members one of another. We have an interest in the same Christ. We have the same reward waiting us in glory, which is the purchase of His grace. We love the same God. We are loved of the same God. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we ought to esteem one another very highly and love one another. And show, and if you be friend, if you would have friends, guess what you got to do? Show yourself to be friendly. Show yourself to be friendly. Don't walk around with a big long face all the time. Smile, say hello to people, greet them. All right, let's go to Leviticus chapter 14. So, this person, this leper now, had been pronounced clean. All right, let's see what's to happen. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing." Now, he's been healed, but he's still ceremonially defiled, so that's got to be taken care of before he can come into the congregation. "And this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest." Now notice that he cannot come by himself. Men do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ by their free will. Not by their own voluntary efforts. It doesn't happen. They're brought to the Lord. If somebody says, "I've come to the doctrine of grace," y'all say, "Well, turn around and go back again," because you can't come by yourself. You have to be brought. The Holy Spirit has to be taught, has to teach us. And He does it by the hearing of the gospel. "And the priest shall go forth out of the camp," because this guy can't come into the camp, because that's the abode of God. So the priest has to go forth unto him. "And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living birds, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field." Now that is a type and a shadow of the bloody death of our Lord Jesus Christ and of His resurrection from the dead and of justification by sinners by the blood of the everlasting covenant. Now, the two birds that were taken were to be taken. They weren't birds that had been captive. They were to have been free out in the open field, and they were to be caught and be brought in. And one of the birds, and the birds according to Jewish tradition, should have been the same size, the same color, the same, they should look just alike because they're types of different aspects of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Both are types of Christ, so they should be alike. Anyway, one of the birds was to be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Now, running water is living water. It wasn't a stagnant, polluted pool. It was living water. And some of this living water was to be put in an earthen vessel, and then the bird was to be killed, his head wrung off, and his blood squeezed out into that earthen vessel and made a mixture of water and blood. Well, there was that pictures justification and sanctification by the blood and righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was in John 19:34, we'll read that one of the soldiers took a spear and pierced the side of our Lord Jesus Christ, and forthwith came forth blood and water. That living water also may be a type of the Word, washing of the water by the Word. But anyway, the living bird, after the bird that was to be killed was killed and his blood wrung out into the living water, then the living bird, the cedarwood, the scarlet, and the hyssop were all dipped in the blood of the bird that was killed. Everything about our salvation rests upon the blood of the everlasting covenant of grace. Everything about our salvation is purchased for us by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And that living bird being dipped in the blood of the bird that was killed shows the application of the blood and to our souls by the Holy Spirit for our justification. Now, not only that, but our Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Look at Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Look at Isaiah 50, verse 8. Isaiah 50, verse 8. Isaiah 50, verse 8. And let's begin reading back in back in verse 5. Isaiah 50, verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Now our Lord endured all of our shame and all the cursedness that went along with our sin to free us from its curse. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore will I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Now the Lord Jesus knew that the Father had appointed him to be the surety of the everlasting covenant, and as the surety of that covenant, he had to pay the debts of the elect of God. He knew that. He had agreed with that with the Father and the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world. He knew that was coming. And he knew that he would be successful and would not be ashamed. And he says here in verse 8, He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that condemneth me? Lo, they shall wax old as a garment, and a moth shall eat them up. Now, God the Father pronounced the Lord Jesus Christ clear and free and justified from all the sin that he bore when he mounted up on the tree. Amen. God justified him. God declared him free from all guilt. But it was our guilt that he carried up on that cross. It was the guilt of all the elect of God of all ages that met on him. And he bore them up on the cross, and he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And when he had paid the debt in full to the last farthing, God justified him. And the Lord said, "It is finished." And he demonstrated that justification when he raised him from the dead.
Amen.
Amen. Christ was justified from the sin that he bore, and that was testified to by God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit when Christ Jesus was raised from the dead.
Amen.
Let's look at just a couple of scriptures with that. Look at 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, how much plainer can you get? It wasn't his sin that he bore. It was our sins. But it was his sin by imputation. And in his view, they were his to own. Because of his suretyship of the everlasting covenant. That we being dead to sins cannot be charged with sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Our record's clear and free. Now we may not feel like it all the time, but feelings do not count. It's the Word of God that counts. And we're not trusting our feelings. We walk by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ in His accomplished salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Whose own self bare sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Look at... Look at Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Well, He has always loved his people. Everlasting. I've loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you. And we cannot begin to imagine the depths of his love. Oh, I can't even begin. That he came, his coming forth was to us in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. In the will and purpose, in his own will and purpose, in the mind, will, and purpose of God the Father, in his taking flesh, in his coming into this world, in his submission of himself to the cross, in all of those things, he was a demonstration of his love to his people. Yea, I have loved you, saith the Lord, with an everlasting love, therefore by loving kindness have I drawn thee. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now there's something a little peculiar there. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Well, it's Hebrews chapter 1. God who at sundry times, and Hebrews 1:1. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken to us in his Son, or by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now notice what it says. It says he purged our sins. Look at Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The sins, they shall be as, though they be red like crimson, though you be blood guilty, the sins shall be made as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they'll be made as wool. But what does that mean? That means that the Lord took all of the guilt and shame and punishment of our sins upon himself and bore it away from us forever, and we shall never, ever be faced with them again, though in our persons. Now notice it didn't say he purged us and purged our sins. We're still sinners in this flesh. And bad as and I hate to bust everybody's bubble, including my own, but we're always going to be as long as we're in this flesh. We're going to be sinners. Not until we are buried and rot and raised from the dead are we going to be free from sin. Earth and worms shall but purify this flesh. We're not guilty. We're just not guilty because he was made guilty. He was legally made guilty, and we are legally made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go back to Leviticus 14. So the living bird then was dipped in the blood of the bird that had been killed. All the children of the election of grace have been dipped in the blood of the everlasting covenant of grace. We've all been justified by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he stood as a lamb as it had been slain from the foundation of the world, and he was slain for sins. Sins can't be imputed both to the surety and the principal. If the surety was put to death for those sins, which he was, and it was as good as done, it was reckoned done in the mind and will of God from eternity past, then it can never be imputed to us. In God's mind, it was done whenever he determined it should be done. Look at Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Whatsoever comes to pass in time is ordained of God before time. And he fulfills and will fulfill and has fulfilled all his decrees of the everlasting covenant, and nothing can fail. Every one of God's children is going to be brought to glory despite all the forces of hell and all the men on this earth. They're all going to be brought home to glory. We are the children, believers are the children of the everlasting covenant of grace, and God has determined in himself that we should share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's good news. Matter of fact, ain't any better than I know of. Turn on over to Isaiah 46:10. Let's just read that. It's always worth reading. Isaiah 46:10, 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old. Listen to this statement. For I am God. Nobody but God can make a statement like that. I am the highest. I am the most high. I am God. There's none like me. And there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Well, what's his pleasure? To bring his many sons to glory. That's the reason he sent his only begotten son into this world, was to bring his many adopted sons to final glory in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're there now in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are members of his body. And he is our head. Verse 6, Leviticus 14:6. And the living bird shall he take, Leviticus 14:6. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them in the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Now that is a picture of the whole church of God being washed in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the head and the body. Christ was raised through the blood of the everlasting covenant. It was his blood that carried our sins away from him and from us. And God pronounced the work done. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is cleansed from the leprosy 7 times. It's a complete work. There's nothing left to be done when God gives us faith to believe the gospel. It's done. As the Lord said, it is finished. and shall pronounce him clean. Now, God pronounced the holy election of grace clean. He declared us clean when he raised up Christ from the dead. If any of his members had been defiled, Christ could not have raised from the dead, because we were all in him, and if there had been defilement in him, it couldn't have happened. He couldn't have raised from the dead. But Christ and all his members were perfectly clean from sin. And shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Now that's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ being loosed for the pains of death, from the pains of death, for it was not possible that he should be holding of it, completely free from sin and death, and all his members in him, and let loose in the open field. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read the first 9 verses. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and that's Satan. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. There's our resurrection with the Lord Jesus Christ. When he got up, we were crucified with him. We are dead with him. We were raised with him. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Representatively, we are now seated at the right hand of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. That in the ages to come, we might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah chapter 50, no, chapter 20, I think it is. Yeah, it's chapter 50. Jeremiah 50, verse 20. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel will be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, they shall be, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon those whom I reserve. He has separated our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He's put all of our sins behind his back. He's kept them into the depths, cast them into the depths of the sea. And though we're sinners in our person, and though we just can't be what we would be, we can do our best. We can try our hardest. But we should know at all the times that that's not what justifies us. Amen. It is the blood and righteousness of the God-man that is our justification. He's our justification and he's our sanctification. He's all our holiness. And the scripture says, be ye perfect, for I am perfect. Well, we are perfect. In him. Not in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the bonds of the covenant of grace. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a Better Hope did. And for by one offering, he, all by himself, hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hebrews 10:14. So this is a picture of the church of God being cleansed, made the righteousness of God by the blood of the everlasting covenant of grace. The Lord sealed all his people. He sealed our salvation on the cross. He purchased it for us. And the Holy Spirit applies to us. He takes that hyssop and the scarlet and the cross, and he sprinkles us with the blood of the everlasting covenant of grace. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. I'll read one more verse of scripture or two, and then we'll close. Hebrews 9. Now, the New Testament can be considered the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. And verse in Hebrews 9:16 says, "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator." Our Lord Jesus is the testator of the New Testament. He it is who bequeaths all his goods to the heirs of the testament, to his heirs. "For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is no force at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined to you.'" Now when he sprinkled us with the blood of that testament, we were caused to believe that Jesus is the Christ. Faith is the evidence of election, and it's the evidence of salvation. Because no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12:3. So if God has given you to believe that Jesus is the Christ, 1 John 5:1 applies to you. And it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Amen.